Hey everyone, Tom Andrews here, welcoming you back to the Web Canopy Studio Show. Today I'm joined by graphic design whiz Jason Smith, one of the key creative players on our team. We're talking about landing pages in this episode, specifically looking at how to design them in a way that supports your copy and increases conversions. Let's begin. Hey guys, and welcome to the show. Me and Jason, we were on an absolute high about 2 minutes ago because we just recorded this episode and it was amazing. Jason gave some absolute gold and then we're like, cool, that was good. And then I'm like, Jason, you're going to kill me here, but I forgot to hit record. So this is the second time we're doing this. And I promise you have got a lot to look forward to because Jason spat out some absolute gold about landing page design. Man. So this is actually going to be even better because there's going to be no waffling. We're going to get to the point.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be an absolute design expert the second you walk away from this call. I guarantee it. So Jason, we're talking about design, specifically landing page design. Yeah. Come from a copywriting background, so I've always championed copy over design, and you know, design's just an afterthought. But after working with people like yourself and other graphic designers I've met along the way who have, like, some of them haven't been very good, and that's when I've been like, oh, actually graphic design is really important. You are very much in the awesome category, so why should you focus on landing page design just as much as the copy itself?
My wife and I actually just went car shopping, and I promise this relates. I had a junky, like, clunker of a car just break down completely. And so we had to go to car dealerships, and like, we went to, I mean, it was the most exhausting day I've ever experienced. We're going from one car dealer to the other. They're all just trying to sell me this car. And we finally found a dealership we really liked, and we get there, we see this beautiful car, and like, it is just shiny, the right lines, you know, everything's just like, looks awesome. And that's the first thing we saw, and it made us be like, oh, what's this car about? What kind of car is this? Start Googling about it. And then we asked the salesperson, hey, can we test drive it and get in? So we start it and we're driving, we're seeing how it's handling. We love it even more after driving it. And that's the relationship between design and copy for me. Like, the most important thing about a car, and get this right, the most important thing is that it runs and it's reliable and it handles really well. Like, that's why we buy cars, to get around and rely on them. But I would have never sat in a car to try it, like, if it had looked rusty and beat up and windows busted out. Like, I immediately would think that if it's crap on the outside, it's going to be crap on the inside too. Even if that's not the case. So that's where design is like crazy important, because it gets people to sit in the car, turn it on and drive it. So design is the outside of the car and copy is the key, you know?
I absolutely love that. And from what I said a minute ago, where I've been a freelance copywriter in the past,
yeah,
I've worked with designers who I've given my copy to, and they have, without sounding horrible, they've completely butchered it, how it looks on the page. And I'm being like, oh, that's not quite hitting, because I'll write a headline, which is supposed to be the front and centerpiece, and they don't make it pop on the page. And then when that doesn't pop, then nothing else pops. And it's just all, it's a mess, essentially. So like you say, with the car analogy, when you see that headline, because it's designed great and you've designed the page in such a way that it puts focus on that headline and or other important elements on the page, whether they're bullets or a form or whatever. But yeah, the design just highlights everything important. And my respect for graphic designers has just gone through the absolute roof. Now, we're talking about landing pages, and part of making a landing page convert well is ensuring you give a great user experience. So what are some key strategies for crafting a landing page that do ensure a great user experience?
Yeah. And I will say, back to your, like, the first question, like, copy is for sure most important. I'll go on the record. But like, it just doesn't matter if it's not laid out in a pretty and a nice and an organized way, because nobody will get in it. So I want to make sure that was clear. I am on team copy, even as a designer, because without it, The design is just kind of wasted. So, okay. So key strategies for a landing page. Here's a few that I have just like put together from everyday like experience jumping into clients' landing pages all the time. The first one is to ensure an exceptional landing page is keep the important information above the fold. Now, don't, you've probably been to sites like this, Tom, where it's like you jump on and they try to put a whole Word doc just right there before the fold.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't want to read a book. I'm so overwhelmed. It's kind of like when you drive and you see a billboard that has like a million words on it. You're going to wreck if you try to read that. Like, who, why is that a good idea? You know what I mean? So keep the most primary, simple, like straightforward information above the fold that you know is necessary to lead to conversion. So sometimes, man, if it's a form because you want them to just download something or sign up for a webinar right there, do a form, make sure the copy is short and sweet and to the point, and then make sure your colors are appropriate to support that headline and that call to action. So keep what's important above the fold because, 7 times out of 10, people aren't going to scroll. You know what I mean? Like, so you got one shot right when they land on it. The
On
next
that
one,
point,
yeah.
there, Jason, we spoke about it in the recording that wasn't actually a recording, but you're talking about mobile versus desktop.
Sure.
So one of the really important things, as you've said, is keeping the important bits above the fold. I've sometimes, if I've tried to make a landing page myself, done it on desktop and thought, wow, this is good. Maybe I'm a good designer after all. And then I've clicked on the mobile option and I'm like, all of the important bits have disappeared from above the fold, or the headline's just massive and the elements are in the wrong order. So how do you ensure that you're not just focusing on getting the important bits on the landing page above the fold on desktop, but also on mobile as well?
Yeah. Something I was always told, like starting out was like, man, start with mobile first, mobile first, mobile first. Like, but that's kind of like an unrealistic critique when it just comes to like landing page design and website design, because like everything we work on is built for desktop, unfortunately, right? But 80% of our audience is on mobile. So it's just, I don't know what the disconnect is there. So you'll find yourself, it'll be just as frustrating to start with mobile design as it is with desktop. So what I end up doing, whether it's in Figma, like the tool we use to design, or if I'm jumping right into HubSpot to make a page, or anything in between, I am constantly jumping back and forth between desktop and mobile. So if I make something in HubSpot that's a sweet like landing page hero header, whatever, and I click over, like I'm not done with it when I'm just on that desktop view. I can't go to the next section until I double check that in mobile. And like, I'll just continue flipping back and forth because mobile, the way the mobile design is laid out, if 80% of our audience is looking at it on mobile, that actually like matters a lot. You know, you can't just throw that aside just because it's easy and it saves you time. Like, it really matters. Your landing page isn't done if it sucks on mobile. So just flipping back and forth is a huge easy win for that. Yeah.
Love that. It does simplify the whole process
Yeah.
because I think a lot of people create it just on the desktop version first and then they
Yeah.
start panicking to see it
Well,
on.
yeah, and that's the thing. Like you make the whole, if you make a whole page on desktop and you haven't looked at mobile and you go and you run into that same thing of like, oh my gosh, this is like 3 days worth of cleanup now because I wasn't thinking through the experience on a different thing. So the next strategy for like an exceptional landing page is consistency, I would think too. Like we land on a lot of pages that probably if you just fixed consistency on them, it would make it go from a bad landing page to a really good one. And what I mean by consistency is like having the same font families and weights all throughout the homepage, having the same button and the right colors all match throughout the homepage, having your backgrounds and your brand colors and your layout all do the same thing over a homepage. Because, if you just, it's just pure chaos. It's like looking at a car, if we're going back to the car analogy, and you see different colored doors on it, you've seen like duct tape on windows, the muffler is like a Diet Coke can or something. You're like, this is a mess. I don't want to go anywhere near this car.
Sounds
Consistency
like something
matters.
from Mad Max or something, doesn't
Yeah. Well, Mad Max,
it?
that's even better. It's like those I would never want to drive because it looks incredibly unsafe, Yeah. Mad Max. That's good.
I think there's a new Mad Max movie coming out soon. actually, on that
Oh,
one.
no
Something
way.
completely unrelated, but yeah, I think it's
Yeah,
about
yeah.
Furiosa. So
Nice.
something, yeah, maybe they should give us a little backhander for promoting that here. So you've touched on Figma in there.
Yeah.
I imagine from a designer's point of view, there's nothing more frustrating than getting a piece of copy. And this actually may be in defense of the designers I've maybe worked with in the past who didn't produce copy that, or sorry, didn't produce design that in my head reflected what I wanted. Maybe it was because I didn't give them a wireframe. It probably was. If I had taken the time to produce a really good wireframe, then they could have just stuck to that and be like, okay, this is what he wants the copy to convey. Now I know exactly what to do to support that. So, what are the benefits to creating a wireframe, and how does that help you as a designer?
Yeah. Well, so I'll answer how it helps me as a designer first and then kind of get into the handoff between the two. How it helps me as a designer, if there is a solid wireframe that either I've helped with or been handed that has thought through how the relationship between copy and visuals, because that's really what conversation it starts on wireframes is like layout, visuals, and all that stuff. It frees me up so much to design something amazing for that content because I'm not thinking through finalizing bits of copy. I'm not thinking through, whatever it is, layout or anything like that. I'm able to just focus in on the visuals, the assets, and things like that. Better. I'm still going to think through those other things, but a wireframe helps me do that. Now I will say, like, for that first part of your question, like a copywriter's job isn't complete until that wireframe is done. And then I would also say that a designer, like they just don't start designing at opening the design file. They should start designing at the wireframe. So I think it's a designers and copywriters, they intersect at wireframe and should really work together. It should be like a beautiful handoff or, anything like that. Like they should work together on that because the way your cop, if you take a Word doc and start to break that up into a layout, you're actually going to make some changes to that copy, I would guarantee. And the same goes with the designer, like seeing stuff laid out like in a certain way, that's going to change the way you would actually design the page. So yeah, it's a beautiful handoff.
Fantastic. And I mean, we've already spoken about this, Jason, so you know where my teasing is about to go. But the listeners haven't heard this yet. So we are going to talk about the one big topic that's been the big topic for about 15 months now, and that is AI. So I would love to hear your thoughts about A, how you think AI is going to affect a graphic designer's role in maybe the next 5 years or so, or maybe even the next 2 to 5 years. And secondly, how can you actually use AI and what AI tools are out there to help you create a really cool and great landing page?
I think where AI is right now, it's not something that's going to replace any designers or save you the most time because you're still going to, it's just like a transfer of time, whether you'd be designing it from scratch or typing in AI, and AI is still hit or miss. I will say, I think that in the next 5 years, it's going to allow a lot of designers to become copywriters, and then hopefully copywriters to become a bit more, design. Experience with design, I think it's going to help grow our tool set. And if you don't adopt it now as a designer, you'll be left in the dust in 5 years. And there are amazing tools out there right now that images are still lacking and assets are still lacking. So don't go to AI looking for those. But like, there are some great AI tools like Reloom is one that makes wireframes, which is amazing. So you can dump all your copy, all your buyer persona information, and it'll spit out, a full wireframe with like recommendations where images should go and layouts and all that stuff, and do a lot of the work for you. So that's a really cool tool that's out there. And we here specifically use a lot of AI for developing wireframes and copy. From my standpoint, I'm not making all my images or icons in them because they still come out as trash. No matter what prompt I use, it's just like you can get some cool images. And depending on if that's your brand, you could use them. But a lot of people we work with and professional business and stuff, AI is just not there. I will say the one area that I have used it the most imagery wise is having it make like backgrounds with textures or patterns on it for me. A lot of times, you know, if you have a hero image, you want a nice background color, wave, texture, something to make it interesting. You have to dig through a bunch of stock photo websites or make it on your own. AI is actually really good at making abstract patterns. That's one of the things it's just amazing at. It can't do fingers, but it can do abstract patterns. And so, if you know you're on ChatGPT DALL-E 3 and you're just asking it to make this blue background, here's the specific hex code or color blue I want. I want waves and give me a checker pattern, this size image. It's going to spit out something really rad for you that you can probably use as a background pretty quick. So.
Fantastic. And that actually coincides with what I feel about AI from a copywriting point of view as
Really?
well, because it will get to the stage, I'm almost certain of that, where it is very, very, very good. And that'll probably be 5, 10 years down the line. But even when that happens, you still need to know what a good copy looks like. And if you don't, then you're just going to assume it's good and it might not be. And that's the same with design. You could give the best AI tools to anyone and they could produce something that they think is good, but unless they know the like the psychology of design and what actually makes for good design, they're not actually going to know for sure. And a lot of the time they're going to get it wrong. Case in point, you'll know this, Jason, from the blogs we've produced. We asked Emmanuel or asked Emmanuel to check it. And I said to Jason, like, mate, don't worry, I'll create the images for these, like, just to save you a bit of time, no problem. And I created them in ChatGPT, and Emmanuel was like, yeah, Tom, copy's good, just leave the images to Jason. Yeah. Stick to your wheelhouse. Yeah. So even with all these tools, if you're a graphic designer or a copywriter listening to this, don't worry, like, your job for the time being at least isn't going anywhere. And if it does get to the stage where our jobs are gone, then probably like everyone's jobs are gone, and we'll
Oh,
probably be
yeah.
living
But like,
futuristically.
definitely keep learning it. Like, I'm just, even though I don't use it daily, I still use it daily to try to. I don't know, just like make sure I'm aware and make sure that I know the best practices. Because, like you said, there will be a time where it can do a lot of work for us if we're familiar with how it works. So.
And speaking of tools, we're going to play the Jack Bauer game again that we've already played, Jason. So John, our CEO, has got a metaphorical gun at you, Jason, and he's saying, right, you've got 1 hour left to create a really cool landing page. Here's the copy. What are you going to do in that hour to create something as good as possible? What's your
I'm gonna
process?
say thank you, John. I don't appreciate the gun to my head, but I'll happily do the work. No, what I'm gonna do, first step is make sure that I know my brand assets. Back to consistency, I'm gonna make sure I know what my brand colors are, what ones I'm gonna use on the site and just stick to those. We know what my font family is. I'm gonna line that up, whether that's in Figma or Design Tool, or jump into HubSpot and make sure my brand asset, like my brand settings, are up to date with all that. So I'm going to line up brand stuff first because that's going to make my job a lot easier when I jump into the page. Then I'm going to pull up his doc, make a new page in HubSpot, and start just bare bones laying out the copy based on what he's got there. And hopefully he's divided it up a little bit for me, you know, so where I don't have to guess headlines and stuff like that. So I'm going to lay that out in a page as much as possible. Make sure I have the consistent call to action through it all. And then lastly, I'm gonna build imagery or gather up imagery or assets that support all of that copy and that layout. So I'm gonna go, we use Envato sometimes for assets. I could even use AI if I need certain backgrounds or just make them in Figma. There are a bunch of free icon sets that are out there. So I'm gonna grab all that stuff, make sure it lines up with my brand, put that on the page, boom, done.
Fantastic. And Jason Bauer, as we're going to call you, you have completed your mission. So, speaking of completed missions, we have for the second time done it.
Yeah.
And this time I remember to hit record. So, yeah, very, very happy on that front. getting my tongue tied here. It's been a long call for us, hasn't it?
Has.
But
Hey,
thank you.
cute podcast. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jason, for coming on. And listeners, I hope you've enjoyed it and learned a lot, because I certainly have. Thank you.
Thanks.